Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss. That brings me to some grandstanding that's happening at the state level that I think is unfair and is putting this county in peril. But before I get to that...
Oh, no! Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5, which is Tiger Point and Gulf Breeze, is, grandstanding at the state level. What you mean grandstanding? There's nobody at the state level who's grandstanding with anything, is there?
We would end up with about $1,000 in property tax cut for every homesteaded Floridian. And that, we have a massive surplus. We can cover that through our normal budget reserves. We don't need to have people paying property taxes this year on that specific line item.
So, no, I don't think... I think he meant to include the governor in the tax cut, which, by the way, is a kind of interesting note. I was talking with somebody the other day who made the point, said, so the governor is offering a tax cut on property taxes, right? $1,000 per homestead. Okay. Is he? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, isn't he just writing a check to people who pay property taxes? That's not a tax cut. That's a maybe at best a tax rebate, but it's not even a tax rebate. It's just a check. It's a stimulus check. And you qualify for it by being a homesteader. Homeowner, if you prefer the term. It's not really a tax cut. It's not even related to property taxes. Not really. It's just he wants to give out $5 billion and he's going to give it to homeowners. So I'm like, oh, that's a good point. I had not been talking about it accurately. I was appreciating an improvement in my way of discussing a topic. Anyway, back to... the comments by Santa Rosa County Commissioner Colton Wright.
The governor's office sent us a letter dated March 18th, subject Doge Team, an inquiry regarding the county's financial condition, and that letter asked five specific questions.
Oh, yeah. By the way, had you heard about this? This letter that went out to all the counties and said, prove you're not screwing up or else? for what purpose? Like, you know, I'm trying to imagine, you know, county number 48. Says, I don't want to name any names, you know, county number 48 says, man, we suck at doing our job. Oh, crap, the governor figured it out. What are we going to do now? Oh, we better do it right now. Like, what is this? It's such a weird thing to send out. But, you know, this is the grandstanding he's talking about.
And there is no doubt in my mind that there are some counties and cities in Florida that have financial problems. But I can assure you, Santa Rosa County is not one of them. And I know everyone sitting up on this dais, whether it be staff or a commissioner, knows that. So I would just say I welcome a Doge inquiry and audit in Santa Rosa County.
Which is, I mean, that's basically what I think it was. Mayor Reeves said the same basic thing. Like, yeah, I mean, we're golden. Like, don't bother, right?
We hear from some angry citizens sometimes that scream about waste, fraud, and abuse. And while I know that certainly happens at the state and federal level, I challenge anyone to find where this county has been frivolous with our spending, because it has not happened. Santa Rosa County runs a lean and efficient county.
At the state and federal level, I think it's cutie and colluded state in there, right? Because remember, what have we learned from Alex Andrade the last couple of weeks about basic accounting controls not being in place at the state level, you know, positions that were sort of double paying because they were funded as separate things, but one person's doing both jobs. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. Like, it's... And also the governor that apparently is, like, suddenly on board with all of this and maybe wasn't interested in funding those efforts before. Like, it's just kind of a... I mean, it's a weird chest-thumping exercise, or so it seems. So back to Colton Wright's comments.
Let's be fair.
Chest-thumping by DeSantis, not chest-thumping by Colton Wright.
But let's be fair. I'd ask that the state investigates every corner of the counties and cities to include all constitutional offices, sheriff's offices, police departments. Don't continuously single out simply boards of county commissioners and city councils.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you're going to do it for everybody. It's just like term limits. Do it for everybody or don't do it for anybody. Like, you know, be consistent. Don't just single out the county commissioners or the school board. Include the sheriff. Include the clerk. You know, I mean, everybody. Everybody ought to be on that list. Or nobody. Like, the same arguments for one work for all, right?
I have some serious concerns about the state of Florida and the direction of Tallahassee right now. Amen. Republican Party has absolute control of every level. The governor, the cabinet, the House, and the Senate. Yet rather than use that to do the hard work to address the real issues that affect cities, counties, and their citizens by streamlining permitting, investing in infrastructure, and holding business and industry responsible with proper legislation, they focus on political talking points to evoke emotion from people, to evoke anger and outrage. Folks, it is all smoke and mirrors. I've heard them say that the state is facing a $3 billion shortfall. I've heard as much as $6 billion shortfall. They can't even agree on the amount.
Or if you hear DeSantis, he says, we're rolling in dough. Yeah, I'm just like, I agree. It's a problem. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing any backups to let you know about. I-10, I-110, even 98 are flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, or maybe not quite yet thinking about it, but just a little bit, you know, every once in a while, before you make a decision, maybe go talk to an expert. Like, before. And what I mean is, you tend to think about the car dealer, you know, like a Frontier Motors, you tend to think about them as an adversary. I know, because, you know, I bought cars, and that's how I think about them. Like, then I catch myself, and I think, but are they the enemy? Well, you know, I understand a lot of times you go through the car buying experience and it feels like it, okay? They're trying to take advantage of you. You're trying to take advantage of them. Everybody's on the other side. You know, it's like it's a fight. Like, capitalism is a fight. Capitalism could be cooperation in a good world where you trust the other side and you try to work together to come to something good. And in this case, think of Frontier maybe as the advisor, the ally, the consultant who has experienced a lot more cars, knows more cars, knows the industry, knows what's going on, and can maybe give you some guidance before you make a commitment. You know, ask them, hey, I've always loved Chevys. You know, are Chevys good now? Which models are the best now? What, you know, Hyundai used to be viewed this way. Now is it viewed that way? Like, I mean, ask them. They know. They can tell you what resale values are. They can tell you how, you know, well-performing the cars are in the repairs. They can tell you if COVID-era cars are a problem or not. I mean, like, that's a thing. So ask them. Instead of just going and having a decision then trying to get into this adversarial relationship, just go say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing. What do you guys think? What would be good for me? Can you give me any of your perspective? Now, you can do whatever you want once they give it, but why not ask? Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Back to the comments at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting with Colton Wright, County Commissioner for District 5. That's, again, Gulf Breeze and Tiger Point. But in Santa Rosa, they represent the whole county. It's not like in Escambia where they have their own little, you know, fiefdoms. I mean, that is how it works, okay? Because, you know, only one-fifth of the county elects any particular county commissioner, and so they're not really responsible to the other 80%. In Santa Rosa, everybody elects everybody, even though you live in a certain area, so it's just a different dynamic. But anyway, Colton Wright talking about this problem of Tallahassee, imposing things, restricting things, creating unfunded mandates, taking away revenue sources. I mean, they really are, like, I hate to say it because it's my party doing it, but a lot of the stuff that's going on in Tallahassee over the time I've been here is an attack on local government. You know, preemption takes away their power to make decisions, you know, changing the policies that they are and are not allowed to pursue, tax policy. As you know, the big fear right now is if we do get rid of property taxes, how are counties and cities going to fund their operations? I have enough faith in my party that we wouldn't just leave them hanging in the wind and they can't pay for the police. We're not that stupid, but I get that it's scary if a lot of your money comes, and I mean, the bulk of it comes from property taxes. Anyway, so back to Colton Wright talking about the threat to counties from some of the stuff that's going on.
But rather than leading and handling business by digging in and actually solving the problems, they're talking about slashing revenue sources while laying all of those problems at our feet right here. Local governments, folks, are in danger, especially those in the smaller and more efficient counties, the ones that are actually leading the way.
Right, right. And, you know, we have a lot of needs and we don't have enough money, and that's nowhere more true than in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, right?
The citizens come to us every day with a concern or need, yet we don't have enough revenue to meet those needs. The legislature seems to enjoy tying our hands every single year with more regulation and unfunded mandates. It's really easy for them when they don't face the citizens every day like we do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and they don't have enough power to do a lot about it, whereas the county commission does have a lot of power. So taking away from the county commission means that when you bump into them at the Publix or the Piggly Wiggly or whatever, you know, you can ask them and they don't have anything they can do about it. Whereas if they are in power, then the local citizens really can hold them accountable in between elections, because nobody wants to get yelled at. But yelling at people is an effective way to get them to stop doing bad stuff, right?
But I am asking that our elected leaders in the legislative branch show real leadership. Deeds, not words. Stop the political grandstanding and passing the buck back to us at the local level. Give the power back to local government, back to the people themselves. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. I want to just say I applaud and support everything you just said, and I appreciate you speaking up.
That's Kerry Smith, and Ray Eddington said the same thing. I think it was Ray. It wasn't Bobby Burkett. Anyway, they all get, by the way, in my conversations with your local elected officials, whether it's city council or county commission, I hear this 100% of the time from them. I do. I hear this 100%. Whenever the subject of what's going on in Tallahassee comes up, it goes something like this. You know, I love my party. My party is very good. I love our governor. I supported him a lot. Really want to be loyal to him. But, man, it does feel like they are doing a lot of stupid things lately. You know, and the general arc is they're taking power away from us with obligations and unfunded mandates, and they're putting restrictions on how we do things. They are making it harder and harder to be an effective local legislator. I mean, I hear that all the time. Now, I know in Tallahassee, their perspective is going to be, well, yeah, but if you didn't screw up so much, you know, like, and the problem is it's kind of like the one bad kid in the class creates a problem for everybody. You know, a couple of kids are out vandalizing trains at night, and so they put a curfew on all the 18-year-olds. You know, a couple of counties or a couple of cities do something really dumb, and now you get a preemption on that subject for the whole state. I get that that's how it works. It's not necessarily a great system. But over time, what you wind up having is just Tallahassee runs everything. You wind up having a state federal government, like a big state government, instead of having a bunch of local governments that have the ability to do what they think is appropriate for their state. And I am always going to be an advocate for local government. I'm an advocate for states over the Fed. I'm an advocate for counties and cities over the state. And, you know, truth be told, I'm an advocate for families and individuals over the city or the county. Like, that's, or churches or businesses. Like, you know, there's all these different elements of government, right? You don't necessarily think of a family as government, but it absolutely is. Have you ever told your kids what to do? Have you ever offered consequences for their choices? Do you deal with income and expense? I mean, you know, are there rules? I mean, your family is a government, right? Unelected, you know, monarchy. it's a monarchy with a king and a queen, you know, maybe just a king, maybe just a queen. But, you know, it's a monarchy and it's a government and it's a good government. I mean, God made that government. It's a good government. And one of the things about having too much power in the city or the county or the state or the Fed is that the family has less authority, less zone of control. And so anyway, and just, you know, this is stuff that people don't think much about, but it's worth saying every once in a while that to the extent your government or governing grows at the county level or the city or the state or the Fed, it shrinks some other zone of authority. And so if the state grows, it's not just that the county shrinks, it's that could be, depending on the thing we're talking about, that the family shrinks. We talk about parental rights. This is basically what you're saying when you talk about parental rights. You just maybe had never thought about framing it that way before. 623 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at pensacolasanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My way, thank you, sir. This entire mission is a serious misallocation of valuable military resources.
Good morning, 625 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And if you're traveling north today, just be aware that there is a big old line of storms at the moment, stretching from Dallas to New York. I mean, like, it goes all the way through middle of Arkansas, everything in Tennessee basically right now. There's actually rotation on the map in the center of Tennessee at the moment on the News Radio ThreatNet radar. You know, Kentucky's covered by it too. So, you know, if you're traveling east or southwest, staying along I-10, you should be okay. But if you go anywhere north, just be aware that that's happening right now, about 5 hours to our north. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still no accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on 98 eastbound, we're starting to see some backups just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. I would say about a 5 to 7 minute delay there with congestion and construction. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. By the way, just a real quick follow-up on that last subject where I was talking about, you know, what's a government, where is government located, who's got the authority to make decisions. You know, John and I were talking in the break a little bit about, like, schools. You know, parents want to have control over what happens to their kids when they're at the school, which is very understandable because parents, you know, are a government instituted in order to raise children. And so when you delegate away the authority to raise your children, you delegate away the authority to raise your children. And it doesn't mean you have to delegate it away entirely, but the choice to send a kid to school is a choice to give somebody else the authority over those kids. Just like the choice to, you know, put a child at a camp in the summer or a child to have a babysitter or, you know, whatever is an authority decision. You've granted authority away. And it's no surprise that when a society creates an institution to take over the obligation of education, which is primarily a parental obligation, a governmental responsibility of parents, of course, that government, the school, is going to be at odds fundamentally in some ways with the family government because they're doing the job that the other thing was built to do. Now, maybe it's a good thing to have schools. Maybe it's a good thing to educate children by proxy through the government. Maybe, you know, it's a good conversation to have. But it shouldn't surprise you that there's a tension there, that there's a fight there. How you resolve, well, that's a different question. But yeah, there's governments all over the place. You know, church is a government, right? Yeah. Religious leadership is a kind of government. And I mean, again, costs and outflow and rules and, you know, I mean, there's just, people don't think about it that way, but there's all kinds of governments. We tend to think about county and state. And I've made this a very long story, but the short takeaway from all this is, where do you believe that the default best source of governmental power should be? And for conservatives, the answer is as close and as small to the individual that's affected by the rules as possible. As close to the person who's affected by the rules as possible. So you would prefer the parents over the school because they're closer to the kid. You prefer Pensacola over Tallahassee because Pensacola is closer and more accountable to us. You prefer Tallahassee over D.C. because it's smaller and closer to us. And, you know, all of those principles which come in under what the Catholics call subsidiarity, which is the idea of, you know, have the government with the most power closest to the people that it directly affects and where they can control it the most through accountability and smallest. That's kind of the idea. Anyway, 628 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the death toll stands at 3 right now as a result of tornadoes in the south central U.S. Officials say the 3 deaths were reported in Tennessee. Early morning word of the fatalities comes, of course, as a tornado watch continues from Arkansas to Ohio today. President Trump has signed new U.S. global tariffs. Those tariffs were announced yesterday and cover a wide range of products from various countries. All countries will have an immediate 10% baseline tariff on imported goods. Many are getting hit with larger tariffs on top of that. Of course, critics claim the reciprocal tariffs are unfair and could lead to hyperinflation.
And you could see price increases. I mean, you probably will see price increases. I mean, if China's going to be paying tariffs, then prices on things made in China are going to go up. The goal is, you know, let's get people to lower their barriers to trade so that we all have low barriers or no barriers instead of this situation. You know, Trump's end game, right, is onshoring domestic production and then also having equality in the trade relationship. Anyway, go ahead, David. Sorry.
Absolutely. The UFC is entering into a multi-million dollar deal with Meta. The UFC is aiming to restructure their fan experience. Apparently, they want to use AI-based Meta platforms to do that. Dana White, that's UFC president and CEO, said in a news release that Meta has the greatest minds in tech and they're going to take their fan engagement to the next level.
Oh, this is 100% the VR experience of the Octagon. This is put on the goggles and see it like you're in the fight, and then probably haptic response type stuff where you can maybe feel getting a hit. Maybe not a full blow, but you know, you tap a little bit like that. I mean, don't you think that's where this is going? This is Strange Days. This is the movie Strange Days coming to real life, right?
Getting punched by a UFC fighter does not sound like my relaxing...
Well, you just haven't tried the latest goggles yet.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
This will be indeed the golden age of America.
President Trump's tariffs on imports from around the world meant to boost America's economy are condemned by leaders around the world.
The European Union's Ursula von der Leyen's warning of immense consequences.
Millions of citizens will face higher grocery bills.
She says the taxes will be a major blow to the world economy. China also unimpressed. Unilateral bullying, according to Beijing's foreign ministry.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. What the National Weather Service calls generational flooding could hit Tennessee and Arkansas.
We have a weather emergency underway with the potential for life-threatening catastrophic flash flooding for cities across the central U.S. through the Ohio Valley and Mid-South. Over a foot of rain will fall through Sunday, filling up rivers and streams and bringing torrential downpours.
Fox senior meteorologist Janice Dean. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got cloudy skies. It is 72 degrees across the area. A Walton County deputy and a suspect have died after a shooting at a dollar store in Mossy Oak in Walton County. The sheriff's office says Deputy Will May was escorting a suspect out of the store when that suspect suddenly pulled out a gun and fired several shots at him. The deputy returned fire and shot and killed the suspect.
I can tell you there is absolutely nothing tactically wrong that Deputy May did. I've been in this business 32 years. There is nothing I would have done differently. There was no indication whatsoever that this would have ended in that kind of violence. But that's what the men and women of this organization, the men and women who choose to put themselves in harm's way, understand and accept when we go to work.
That's Sheriff Mike Adkinson. He says the suspect had no violent criminal history. Adkinson says May fought for his life for several hours at a local hospital before succumbing to his injuries. Deputy May was a veteran deputy with the sheriff's office, had several years of service, and leaves behind a wife and two children. A Milton man is accused of sex crimes involving a young girl in Andalusia. 55-year-old Breton Etroy Brown is charged with traveling to meet a child for an unlawful sex act. An investigation began into that when the girl told friends she'd been coerced into inappropriate activities with Brown while on spring break here in our area. The girl's mother gave her phone to law enforcement. They used the phone and her Facebook account to set up a meeting between the girl and Brown. Law enforcement officers arrested Brown at the Sunset Inn in Andalusia. He's held on $150,000 bond at the Covington County Jail. Well, there are plans in the works for a bear hunt. FWC revealing those yesterday during a video conference. The proposal would have that hunt take place this December from the 6th through the 28th. The number of bears killed would be limited to 187. The FWC says bear hunts are an important tool for population management. The last bear hunt took place over a decade ago. Well, Florida's newest congressmen are now on the job. District 1's Jimmy Patronis and District 6's Randy Fine were sworn in yesterday. Both add to the Republican Party's majority in the House. Patronis addressed his colleagues and said he's ready to get the fiscal House in order. He also called it the opportunity of a lifetime to fix the country. He says so our children grow up in a nation that's safe and full of opportunity. Well, Pensacola's Sanger Theater celebrated 100 years and hosted a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday that featured participation from the Chamber of Commerce, Friends of the Sanger, and Mayor D.C. Reeves. They had guided tours and screened the silent movie, The Ten Commandments, which was the first show that ever played at the Sanger back in 1925. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. I'm just seeing some minor delays just east of Navarre Beach Bridge on 98 going eastbound almost to the Windhaven Beach. About a 5 to 7 minute delay associated there. This traffic report is brought to you by Rocket. Rocket.com is a single seamless homeownership platform to help you find, buy, sell, finance, even refinance your home. Visit Rocket.com today. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. It is 72 degrees here in Pensacola, 72 also in Gulf Breeze. Our next news is at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields fell sharply this morning after President Trump's reciprocal tariff policy announcement, which raised concerns about the possibility of a global trade war. The 10-year Treasury yield dropped by 13 basis points to 4.066%. Apple shares sank more than 6% in late trading and led a broader decline in tech stocks after Trump's tariff announcement. Apple manufactures most devices in China. NVIDIA, which produces new chips in Taiwan, fell about 5.7%. New Orleans' housing market continues to struggle. For the third year in a row, total home sales were down in 2024, while new listings were up. That's according to the annual Economic Outlook and Real Estate Forecast report. House prices overall were slightly higher, with the median sales price for a single-family home up 2.2%. Futures are sharply lower, with Dow futures down by more than 1,100 points. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 235, the NASDAQ gained 151. That's your money now.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
We Care Home Hotline. This is Woody.
Woody, I need big help. My husband was working on the lights and he...
I may be small, but I know a thing or two about big jobs. Just call the experts at We Care and maybe take that honey-do list away from your fella. We Care's HVAC, plumbing and electrical experts have thousands of positive reviews over the last 10 years. Let the gnome protect your home. Schedule online at wecareheatandair.com.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Crying loud all the way across town. She be searching for that someone.
All right, so I have a question for you that is, it's a little bit difficult to answer, but it has to do with the news industry, my industry, our business, news radio. I mean, Channel 3, PNJ, you know, CNN, Fox, New York Times, the news business. There is a report that a celebrity, who I will not name for reasons that will become obvious here in a second, is facing charges for some pretty lurid sex-related stuff. A very, very well-known celebrity that, you know, you would obviously know if I said the name. And the question is, and at the moment they're charges, okay? There's been no conviction. It's brand news, kind of breaking today or whatever. I would expect you'll hear more about this, you know, soon. Is it right or wrong to report the story? 437-1620, 437-1620. You know, I've obviously taken an answer because of the way I'm doing this. Here's why. It's a fact that the charges have been filed, right? The allegations are factual. I mean, in the sense that it's a fact that there are allegations. But here's why I don't say it on the air. Because once I say it and say blank sex trafficking, you can never unassociate it in your head. Never. Even if you don't believe it, even if the person turns out to be totally exonerated, and I don't just mean they get acquitted, but you think they were guilty anyway, you know, I'm not talking like an OJ thing. I mean, if you really and truly believe that it was a false report, whatever, okay? Even if you're totally on their side, you still will always think it in the back of your head when that person's name comes up or you see a movie or whatever, you know, that's got, right? Cannot be avoided. Fact of human psychology. And I think we have an obligation to be more responsible with the things we say and to consider long-term reputational psychological effects. Other people are going to report it. If they do, I always want to be the last one to say it. You know, Andrew McKay, I always want to be the last one to say it. Precisely because, you know, I don't want to be responsible for creating that association in your head that once it's created, you can never uncreate. So many people have their reputations and their lives affected by things that turn out not to be as bad as or at all as what gets said. Particularly when you're talking about a big, emotional, scary, negative, sex always draws people in that, you know, direction too. So my choice is not to report it. And that means you may find out first from somebody else. Okay. You know, that's my approach. 437-1620. But what would you prefer? You know, would you rather, And this is not a local story, okay? You know, this is not one of those, well, Andrew, who are you protecting? This is not anybody that, I mean, you all know who this is. It is not somebody who's here, okay? And I just, you know, maybe it's because of my background as an ethics professor, you know, that I think differently about these things. Maybe it's because I think a lot of people in the news business don't take the ethical obligations with enough depth and thought or training. You know, reporting news is power. You have this power on your Facebook page or in your talking with other people. You have power. You know, words have power. We protect speech because it's powerful, not because it's weak. We protect speech because it can do things, you know? Libel and slander are illegal. Well, what if it's a real thing that you're repeating? Even a fact shouldn't necessarily be said under all circumstances. You know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Okay. But sometimes just because a thing is true doesn't mean you should say it. Sometimes a true thing shouldn't be said because saying it causes a harm. You know, I tend to think that words are like bullets. They have power for good or ill. And just the same way that people should get training on gun safety and the ethics and the law around the use of lethal force, I think the same thing about the news or information or words, and we don't do a particularly great job of training people this way. And I don't mean for professional news people. I mean for people in general. You know, gossip falls under this same kind of category, even if it's true gossip. You know, just because it's true doesn't justify. Just because it's a fact doesn't justify. That's my approach. What do you think? 437-1620, 437-1620. Is it my obligation to just tell you and let you decide? Because in my opinion, once I tell you, you actually lose some power to decide because you can't decide to not hear the thing. Right? That's not an option. You can decide what you think about it, how to act on it, what you want to believe about it, but you can't just turn your brain into forget mode. It doesn't work that way. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. I'll take your text in just a second.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like the microphone's falling
the microphone
on me.
Won't attacked you.
I know. I was like, hello. It's like UFC all over. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. If you are at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29 going north and southbound, you're just going to see some minor delays there just due to congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. Bad Mike.
Bad Mike. Scold that, Mike. Hey, if you are in a business, you've got employees, you got to deal with employee benefits, you got to think about things like payroll, you got to think about things like human resources, dental, vision, life, you know, health, disability, all that stuff. And if you love what's going on with your employees and they're happy and you're happy and everything, great. I mean, do nothing different. If you wonder whether you could do it better, whether you could save them money, save you money, make it easier, or if you're not happy, or you just have a problem you're trying to solve, hey, give Torgerson Causey a call. They're a locally owned and operated for more than 2 decades comprehensive employee benefits agency. We use them here at News Radio and Cat Country for about 4 years. They're great. My wife never approves of any insurance people at all, and she loves them. Like, and she's an industrial engineer, so she's smart. She asks questions to which what usually insurance people are like salespeople, and usually they don't really have great answers because they're good at sales but not necessarily good at, you know, research and details. And my wife reads the insurance policy, okay? And she says Torgerson Causey, thumbs up. You know, she likes them, so I like them too. 433-9996, if you want to have them check out what you're doing or help you with any input, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Okay, back to the text on the question. And the question of the day at the moment is, there is a story out right now about allegations against a very famous person whose name you would absolutely recognize being involved in a sex crime, okay? And I'm not going to tell you any more than that, because if I give you enough detail, you can just go Google it, you know, and you can, okay, but my question is, should Andrew McKay or news in general, you know, it could be anybody, report on it? Because once we report on it, you can never unassociate that person with the allegation. It'll always be there, no matter what the truth of the situation is. So I'm a wait and report kind of person. because I think it's my obligation to protect people and their reputations in the same way. 437-1620, but that's what I want to see what you think. First text in says, report with 1234 exclamation marks. Somebody said, Andrew, I understand what you're saying about not wanting to report it. However, just report the news. No bylines, no biases. Just report the news and let the chips fall where they may. Yeah, but then I'm abdicating the responsibility for the impact of my words to some official in some foreign country who made a decision to charge a guy. Right? I've given them the power to decide what I say to you, what your brain hears from me. I don't think I should give him that much power yet. That's my view. Again, some facts you don't say, in my opinion. Criminal allegations should only be reported on if the equivalent amount of reporting is done saying a person is innocent. Even if the equivalent amount of reporting is done saying a person is innocent, you never get back to zero. You never get back to that person's name is cleared. You can say so-and-so did blank lurid thing one time, and then you can say they were innocent, they were innocent, they were innocent. You never get back to a clean reputation precisely because the way the brain works is don't think of an elephant. What'd you think of? Elephant. You know, you can't unthink a thing. In order to negate a thing, you have to think the thing. So even if you say blank is innocent, you had to think the crime before you could think. That's the way the brain works. Let's see. If an indictment has been issued, it's public knowledge. If we report the facts and refrain from emotionally based speculation, I see no issue. Johnny Depp, somebody says, a good example of jumping the gun. Yes, report on celebrity crimes or allegations, but no reporting on school mass shootings. Those sickos don't need their names spackled. That's spackled all over the media, feeding copycat shooters. See, that's a good example of, like, you don't typically report on suicides. You're very careful about how you do report on things like if there happens to be a bus crash, even a fender bender. I'll just tell you, our policy here is we don't report on that till we know more. Because we know your first question is, what bus, what school, my kid. So we're just not going to talk about it until we know enough to tell you everything. And even then, we report it cautiously because one bus crash, it doesn't involve your kids. Even if it's minor, nobody's hurt. Every parent freaks out. How is that serving the public? I mean, that's literally what we do here at News Radio, the way we think about something like that. Somebody says, you have a duty to give us the scoop. Nope. Somebody says media coverage also makes it difficult to find an impartial jury. Correct. Very correct. Somebody says, unless it directly affects me or my family's life, I don't care about anybody else's rap sheet. Somebody says, report the facts. It's not your call to make censorship. Just say no. Let the people decide. It's a slippery slope. Yeah, but again, somebody's making the decision about what to produce as far as information goes. And I think it's my obligation to think about what's relevant, what's not relevant, what's interesting, what's not interesting, what's harmful, and what's not harmful when I report it, because I report it. Somebody says, treat them as you want to be treated. Amen. And that's exactly why I do what I do. Somebody says, I vote for your discretion. Somebody says, just report it, Andrew. Get over the drama. Somebody says, if only all the news would... just want to make sure the previous text wasn't related. Yeah. If only all the news outlets would do it this way. Somebody says, or Andrew, you're hiding information that could be relevant to others because you're protecting that person. Agreed. Absolutely. I mean, think the Bill Cosby story. Good example of that. I was extraordinarily reluctant to report on that, even to name the name. Because he was such a hero of mine, of the world's. But persistent investigation and, of course, one person comes forward. Another person hears that they've come forward, that emboldens them to come forward. There is a downside of not reporting, right? There's a downside of reporting. There is a downside of not reporting. Absolutely correct. Let's see. Somebody says, no need to report it now because it's on Yahoo. But thanks. Thanks for the heads up. Let's go to traffic on the fives. it's a tough decision because I'm just reading text. 437-1620. It's a tough decision because the court of public opinion is usually guilty until proven innocent. Yes. By the way, the innocent until proven guilty is a legal standard under the Constitution with a burden of proof and presumption and rules. There is no such presumption of innocence among the public. The public makes its own choice. The problem is that once you report, there is no presumption of innocence. I mean, it is entirely gone. That's exactly the problem. Somebody says, let law enforcement do the investigating. The court of public opinion has been wrong more times than it's been right. Somebody says, cite your sources. Unbiased reporting is a responsibility of a journalist. Yeah, I think that telling people, well, NBC News is reporting, that puts a lot of presumption in NBC's authority and capability. And they are often right. But just saying a thing and then saying, well, so-and-so reported it or multiple, that's not good enough either. You still have, you're still the person saying it. I'm responsible for my words. And a lot of times people will say a juicy thing and feel they're safe in saying it ethically or legally because they can say, well, blank reported it. Legally, yes. Ethically, still open. Somebody says you're doing the honorable thing. It's not news until it's a fact. Do the honorable thing, especially because they're just allegations. Another case, Hunter Biden's laptop. A good example. We don't think it's for real. Don't report it. you can't handle the truth. I always appreciate a good movie quote. All right. Stop with the carrot and stick reporting. I'm not sure what that means, but okay. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, but I take all the input seriously. Because it is, I mean, this is the kind of stuff you should wrestle with as a journalist. You absolutely should. Or as a talk show host, especially because, again, airwaves are unique in this regard because the premise of using airwaves is what? Serve the public good. The government owns the airwaves. We have a broadcasting license that they offer us in exchange for us promising to do a thing that serves the community. Legally, maybe ethically, it's a little bit different when you're online or in print or word of mouth, but I think the same ethical issues apply. But legally, in terms of the airwaves trade-off, there is a little bit different. John Pickens says, oh, we're not yet. I don't want to go early. I almost went early to traffic on the five. I gave him the heebie-jeebies. Men Who Cook. This great fundraiser, excellent food event that I cook in every year, usually with my son. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it this year because of work obligations, but comes up April 27th at the Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Resource Center. Wonderful event. Fantastic charity, Pace Center for Girls. Hope you'll join us for this. It is always good food, and as I like to say, it is a good feed. 655, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependent on what?
I was just making sure that you knew it was time because people were... I just want to make sure you knew it was time to do traffic on the fives.
Why don't you go ahead and tell them traffic then?
Okay. Well, no accidents to report to you right now, but if you're traveling I-10 westbound between Pine Forest and 9 Mile, you're going to see some delays through a little construction zone right there. No accidents to report. But other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Biggins with your traffic on the fives.
Tired of wandering the aisles of those big box stores, struggling to find the help you need? At Home Outlet, we do things differently. First, we guarantee the lowest price on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. Find it cheaper somewhere else? We'll beat it by 10%. Second, we're employee-owned. Yep, the folks helping you design your dream kitchen actually own the place. You're not just another customer to us. You're the customer. So why deal with the other stores? Break up with the big box and upgrade to Home Outlet. Find a location near you at homeoutlet.com.
April 12th is the biggest party of the year.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret of Curiosities, Revelry Reimagined, as the entire building and surrounding block turns into an entertainment complex for one night. The fanciful theme revels in all things magical, mystical, enchanting, and charming as attendees wind through inexplicable oddities. It's an all-inclusive event that includes 6 open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Fort Cancer event benefiting the American Cancer Society at Saposi Event Center is Friday evening. Enjoy the food, cocktails, live entertainment, and exciting auctions. See ForkCancerPensacola.org for event details. The 15th annual Navy Federal 5K is Saturday, benefiting the Escambia County Public Schools Foundation in downtown Pensacola. Please see visitpensacola.org. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, my God, we might have died. I can't think.
It's okay. If you need to, you go right ahead and vomit.
Oh, And by the way, one follow-up on that topic we were just having is, even by me raising the question on the air, I'm sure I sent hundreds of you to the internet to go look up what case is he talking about. I've promoted the story and talking about whether I should even mention the story. You just can't win in the world. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, as promised, President Trump has signed new U.S. global tariffs. Those were announced yesterday and covered a wide range of products from scores of countries. All countries will have an immediate 10% baseline tariff, many also getting hit with larger tariffs on top of that. President Trump's deportation of alleged gang members is now the subject of a hearing later today. The judge in the case will be asking the Department of Justice why they violated his order and allowed planes of deportees to land in El Salvador on March 15th. The legality of Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act may be decided by the Supreme Court.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Phantom of the Opera. There's a street party that's, of course, we had the 100th anniversary yesterday. Since its opening on April 2nd, the Sanger's been showing all kinds of things. But we've got the April 6th, so that would be, what is that, Saturday? That's Saturday, right? The official 100th anniversary celebration street party featuring Phantom of the Opera. Oh, that should be fantastic. PensacolaSanger.com.